Hello, everybody. I don't know why I'm laughing, okay? So I'm just laughing because I laugh a lot, you know? So today I want to talk about real abundance. And what I mean by real abundance, where does that start? I mean, usually when we hear that word abundance, you know, what we normally, we'll either think about pilgrims or we'll think about manifesting. Isn't that right? That I'm going to go down in the basement and wish real hard for something and hope I get it, right? So that's not what real abundance is. A real abundance is noticing that you don't actually need anything. You've already got everything. Do you see this? What could you possibly need? You are everything. You can't possibly need a thing. If you go to the jewelry store and you buy yourself that watch you always wanted, then all that's happening is you're taking money out of your left pocket and you're putting it into your right pocket. And you're taking that watch and you're moving it. That's all. You can't buy anything. It's already yours. Nor can you lose anything. Where would it go? There's just you. So when we begin to just let this sink in, then we can begin to relax because we just realize, gee whiz, I mean, I've got something here that nobody can take away from me. I've got everything. And that's the truth. We've got everything. You've got it. We are the same thing. So when I say I, we, you, don't, you know, I'm not trying to be non-dually correct or incorrect. I'm just talking to using normal language that people who were not non-dual giants would use. So real abundance is also, it's noticing that you already have everything. And from a unit perspective, you can begin to notice that you have everything you need. And I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes. It feels like, damn, everybody else has got so much, and I'm just sitting over here with nothing. I mean, we got the super rich, and they're out there with, you know, buying $500 million yachts and stuff, and I'm over here, you know, trying to decide if I can, if I can afford to buy a decent cut of meat this week, or you know, if you're a vegetarian, a decent cut of something vegetarian, a decent cut of tofu or something. I mean, you know, so it's, and it seems like it's wildly disparate. It just seems like there's a huge gulf between the haves and the have-nots, and there is, and I'm not saying it's equitable. On a relative sense, there is, and it's not equitable. That's my vote, okay? But I'm not talking about from that view. I'm talking about from the true view. And the true view, if I look from the eyes of truth, if I look from the eyes of truth through the Fred unit instead of as the Fred unit, then what I understand is that there is nothing here but abundance, and that it's all mine, and that this is, and all these people are me. So there can't be anything inequitable about it. I'm just confused. If I am loading up on dollars and loading up on stuff, I'm confused because I don't need $60 million. I need a bunch of money. If I got the opportunity to get it, I need a bunch of money, but I don't need $60 or $600 million or $6 billion. Jesus Christ. You know, do a Bill Gates and a Warren Buffett. Give it away a little bit of it. Notice that you've got more than you need. Let me tell you something right now. Right now, I don't need this clock. I don't need it, you know. I use it to keep an eye on my sessions. That's when I need it. But I'm not doing a session right now. I don't need that clock, but I've got more than I need. That's the truth. I've got more than I need. How much money do I have? I have got more than I need. How do I know? Because this wallet right here, it holds my extra money, right? I got more than I need. I'm awash in it. Because what I need is actually what I need when I'm talking about, it depends on how we look at it. I don't need anything. But if we look at it from the unit perspective, The only thing this unit needs is food and water and shelter. Maybe a little company would be nice. But I don't need a bunch of stuff. The biology of the unit doesn't need a bunch of stuff. The psychology of the unit, you can't satisfy it, no matter what you give it. It doesn't make any difference. That thing that you just know is going to make your life, I just got to get that last thing, doesn't make any difference whether it's a mate or that watch we talked about. If I just get that, I'd be happy. You go ahead and get that and see how happy you are. See how happy it makes you and for how long. It comes in the door and it's like, wow, I finally got my package. That's great. And you open it up and go, well, you know, it's not quite as nice a shirt as I'd hoped it would be. You know, and I don't think this is actually the one that'll make me happy, but I'm glad to have it. And I'll go put it in the closet and wear it one of these days. I mean, I'm not suggesting that we all do that, but I'm suggesting some of us do that, and we all do that on one level or another, and we all, and here's what I want you to notice about true abundance, is that I can't quarrel and be grateful in the same moment. That's what's so weird. I can't quarrel about what I've got and be grateful for what I've got in the same moment. Whatever we put our attention on will expand in our experience. And if I start looking for what I don't have, oh, well, there's no end of it. I don't have that $500 million yacht. I don't even have a little yacht. I don't even have a canoe, man. I mean, I'm just, you know, I am just boatless. And poor me, damn, I'm boatless. All these people have boats. I don't have a boat. I need a boat. How do I know I need a boat? Because I want a boat. Why do I want a boat? Because everybody else got a boat. What will I do if I get a boat? Well, you know what? Then you know the old joke about the boats is that the happiest 2 days of a boat owner's life is the day that he buys it and the day that he sells it. In between, boatness, man, what a hassle! So much trouble. So we don't, as units, we don't actually know what we need. See, we just the biology's always got what it needs. What do I need right now? Obviously, I need lights, and I need a computer. I need a camera. I've got an abundance. I don't need this backdrop, but it's much nicer than looking at the inside of my closet. I don't need these flowers, but Betsy got them, and I think they look great. But I don't need them. I'm so glad I have these glasses because I can see much more better and they make me a much more efficient unit, but I don't actually need them, not to get by. Now, I might need them if I'm going to read or something, but I don't need them just for getting by. I could stumble around in my life because my vision's not that bad. They would actually be optional for a unit like this. They are a luxury for a unit like this. There are countless units out there with vision worse than mine who don't have glasses and they're getting by. And if they're looking for what they don't have, they're finding out they don't have glasses and they need it. But if they're looking at what they do have, they notice they've got pretty good vision and their neighbor doesn't. Best thing is just to notice that you have pretty good vision. But, you know, we can't help but compare sometimes. So when you compare down and not up. In other words, is that, look, I have a shirt. This is fantastic. Do I need a shirt? Yeah, I think that's a reasonable thing to have. But look, I have a t-shirt too. I've got more than I need. Do you see that? I always got more than I need. I mean, I've got a ceiling fan here. I don't need that. But I'm certainly glad I have it because it brings the temperature in this room up to an optimal degree. But that's luxury. It's not what I need. I've got more than what I need because I've got it all. And when I start looking from the eyes of truth, I can see that I've got it all. I don't need a thing. And when I look from the eyes of the unit, if I with the truth in hand, so to speak, then I put my focus on what I've got. Let me tell you something about the funny thing about what is that once we come to discover that what is, right? That there's this and nothing but this. That there's this happening, this moment, and no other moment. There's these conditions, this array of stuff, and no other, there are this circumstances and no other circumstances available. See, the funny thing about what is that it's all that is. And this little voice in your head, hell, that's hollering about what isn't. It's been doing it all your life, and it's going to do it all your life until you wake up. Or, and beyond that, until you clear up, because it's still going to do it. And hell, it does it now. To me, I just don't pay any attention to it. It's not very loud like it used to be, and it doesn't come so often, but it still comes up. It still says crazy stuff, and that's fine, because I don't suffer from what I think. I suffer only from what I believe. And I know better than to believe that. I know better than to believe this voice, because it's not a reliable source for me. It just isn't. You know, I mean, it's lied to me all my life. I mean, hell, when I was drinking, it told me that drinking was a good idea while everything in my life went down the tubes. When I had a home, it told me, boy, the best thing to do is just to give up this home and this wife and this cushy little life and go be homeless, right? So you can drink all the time. I mean, and I am going to rely on that. I'll tell you what, in Asheville, North Carolina, that one time when I woke up a group of about, 10 or 12 people at the same time. And right after that, a young woman, she was about 23 or something, I think. She was fresh out of college, just starting her life, and she came to me and she said, golly, you know, Fred, what am I going to do with my life now? I mean, and of course, the first thing I got to ask is from a non-dual perspective. I got to be the non-dual police owner, and I got to ask, so what have you done so far in managing your life? And, you know, and she came to recognize that was ego talking, that she had never run her life at all, that it's just being run for her. So after I got her corrected on the non-dual thing, then I asked her, and then I answered her question on a practical level. Because there's no reason not to address practicality. It's a wonderful thing to address. Because this is our experience. I don't care if it's real or not. I don't care if it's a dream or illusion or or whatever. It is my experience, and it does bear my attention. It's great. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to non-dual my way out of Betsy and Willie and Dickens. Man, I'm not trying to non-dual my way out of this teaching practice. I mean, my God, it's the best gig in the world. Why on earth would I be trying to transcend that? I'm not. I'm enjoying that. I dig this. So, then remember what I was talking about now. I just got so excited about what I was doing and all that. I actually have no idea. So I guess what this is God's way of letting me know that that's the end of this video.